Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And there are 31 verses in this chapter. And we have a couple of letters that we're going to be reading from different parts of the world. And then we're going to do the third in the series of dealing with yourself. Dealing with self. But right now, let's ask the Lord to anoint the tape. Father, anoint this tape. Anoint us, Lord. Lord, it's so wonderful when we pray to you because immediately the Spirit comes down. And we feel a peace that passes explanation. We can't really explain what it is when we feel your Holy Spirit, when we feel you anointing us and preparing us, our minds, our hearts, our spirits, our soul, entire soul, for messages that you want us to have. Because out of the merciful and goodness of your heart, you, Lord, sent your only begotten Son into the world, and you came with him. The Father was in him, and Father, you were in him when he went to the cross. And, Lord, you're in us, and Christ, and the Holy Spirit. All of you are in us, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which is Christ. Lord, we ask that you anoint every word that's read from the King James Version, from the translation, from the commentary, and also anoint the third part of dealing with self. So, Lord, that we can have a closer, more meaningful life in you. We need to continue growing on a daily basis. For when we do, we shall never fall. When people, Lord, walk with you, they cannot fall. When Peter was coming towards you, he was walking on water, but when he looked down away from you, he fell. It's impossible for us to fall if we're walking close to you, right next to you, and if, when you're in us. When you're walking and doing your work in and through us, and the way that we can continue to let you do that is just what we're doing, Lord, is reading your word, praying. Praying is our victory. That is our way of battle. Is to pray to you, and you do the you move mountains for us, because we have faith to believe, and whatsoever we believe, we receive. Lord, we bind the devil on this earth, and we know that therefore that the devil is bound in heaven. Lord, I know that he's attacking from every side to destroy your gospel, your work here on earth. Destroy him, Father, and all those that refuse to repent, destroy them, Lord. If they will not repent, Lord, destroy them. Lord, and all those that are attempting to destroy your word, your work, and the people that you work in and through, destroy them, Lord. We can't. You want us to rely strictly on you. And we do. When we read your word, we see that no one ever won a battle without you. But everyone that trusted in you won the battle. Lord, I thank you for preparing us for war. This is a spiritual war, and our weapons of warfare is the Word of God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's begin.
1 Samuel chapter 30. David destroys the Amalekites.
King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. Verse 2. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. Verse 5. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Well, when there's everybody in your congregation, in your army, it's against you, but you know that you didn't do anything wrong, you have to encourage yourself. It's just like when people see themselves dying. They could have a tumor in their mouth and in the back of their brain, and it's pushing your, so big in your brain that it's pushing your eyes out. But if you believe in the Lord, you have to believe in God more than you do the eye that's bugging out, the tumor that's in your mouth. You have to believe God more than your body. God said, by my stripes you were healed. That's what the Lord said. And the doctors say you've only got a few minutes to live, a few days. We're going to pull all life support off. And you can't believe them, because the Lord says, by my stripes you were healed. Amen?
Amen.
So we have such a case right now. They said the man couldn't last until he gets home. This has been over 42 days now that he's still alive. He hasn't used one bit of painkiller since then. He didn't want it, didn't need it. And he's still alive and breathing. And now he had the tumors acting up again in his mouth, because he was scratching it. And the eye the same way. But I don't believe what the eye is saying. I don't believe what his body is saying, the tumor in his mouth. I believe the Lord, by his stripes, he was healed. It's a done deal. It happened years ago. And people cannot believe what you see. You know, we don't walk by sight. Amen?
Amen.
We walk by faith. Amen. In what God said. You cannot walk by sight. People that walk by sight are dead and they're lost. Because we believe in the invisible more than we do that which is visible. Now the Lord said, by his stripes we were healed. And so I just am standing there and the man keeps living. And his relatives now, Buster and Buster's wife, believe the way I believe. And the people here in the church believe the way I believe, right?
Amen.
Maybe not every one of them, but most of them do. And I just believe that he's healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Because why? Because God said so. And that ought to be enough for everyone. Amen?
Amen.
I don't believe my body. I look at it and say, I don't believe you. I can't believe you. Okay, but I believe the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody that's in the ground, you know, at the time that the Lord is going to come back to earth, I can't believe he's going to rise up from the dead, people say. Every single person is going to raise from the dead, amen, for judgment. You believe that?
Yes.
Well, then why wouldn't you believe that God could take a little tumor out of somebody's mouth when he already said he did, amen?
Amen.
And out of his brain? Okay, how could you not believe that? Well, because you could see it. Well, when you see the little urns full of dust, people had themselves cremated, and you see all those particles of dust being brought back to life and into the form of a body again, then will you believe? Then will you buy my rice, the Lord's rice? Amen?
Amen.
then it'd be too late. You have to believe in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Because you don't want to wait until you have to see it. You have to believe God because his word is true and his promises are true. By my stripes you were healed. Now receive it and be healed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.
See, David believed God. Right there, okay? Should I do it? He had enough sense to call on God, amen?
Amen.
To see if I should go after him, or should I just let him have my wife and kids and everybody, my wives? And he says, no, go after him. Well, some people say, well, that happened to him because he had two wives. No, the Bible says that God gave him all of his wives, amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, so that wasn't it. And if it was bad to have two wives, and he had many more after that, then why did God tell him to go and pursue him and get him back?
Amen.
Answer those questions, you people that don't know the Bible. You people that don't believe the Word of God. Okay? And so he says, you're surely going to do what?
Overtake them and without fail recover all.
Well, then if he just says, well, I'm going to stay here, do you think the Lord is going to love him and let him recover all?
No.
Why?
Because he said
because he wouldn't believe the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So it's for sure, when the Lord says you're going to recover everything, you will. I remember the time that Sue lost, we got a $40,000 tithe in the form of a cashier's check. And Sue said, don't you carry the money anymore, because you carry it in your front belt there. And it was a big old black wallet. And she says, people are going to just grab it off you. Nobody's ever grabbed money off of me in my life. Okay? Because, they just don't. And so, finally she badgered me enough to probably give her the money. And a couple days later, she was at a shop where they sell fabrics with a bunch of the sisters. She went to pay for it, and she had lost my wallet with the money in it. And to make a long story short, I'm going to shorten it up real quick. The Lord told me as she was crying and weeping and throwing up, fit. I thought she was going to die. She was crying so much. And I took her to the police department to file a report of the wallet missing and everything. And she was in the bedroom crying and crying. I was the one that had to wash the dishes that night. So I'm washing the dishes and I'm saying, oh God, if you don't bring that money back, she's going to die. And the Lord says, I'll send it back. And I says, when? And he says, he didn't answer. I says, 10? He says, no. Because there's a clock that appears to in my mind. When I close my eyes, I see it. And it's like a ghost of a clock. And the clock starts going the opposite direction, no. And I say, 11. And then it goes a little bit slower, around and round. And then when I say, between 11 and 12, and he goes, yes, and the clock goes the right way, round and round like that. And I said, praise the Lord. I yelled it out real loud, and Ed Meck heard it downstairs, and Sue did too, and he ran upstairs on the outside steps because he lived in a separate apartment from our house. And Sue came out and says, what happened? Did you find, is the money, did you find? And I says, no, but the Lord said it's going to be back here between 11 and 12 o'clock, 11:30. And they said, oh. I said, oh. what's wrong with you? And he says, they just went back, you know, really sad. And I couldn't believe it. I was all encouraged. No matter how many people are depressed around me, I'm always encouraged in the Lord. And so here's 11:25. And about that time, I took a chair, and I sat it right in front of the door because they thought somebody stole it out of her purse. And I thought, surely somebody's going to know this is Tony and Susan Alamo, and we're going to take that back to them. We can't spend that. That belongs to the Lord. That the guy's going to come to the door and knock on it and say, here's the wallet. I stole it from her. So I sat right in front of the door on a chair. And there was no knock on the door, but all of a sudden, Susie came out of the bedroom with a wallet in her hand. And she was going, And I says, give me that! And I grabbed it away from her, and I says, and I looked in there, and there was the check, the $40,000 cashier check, given to us by Elvis Presley. And some other bills in there, and I said, I'm carrying this from now on. Do you understand? I said, praise the Lord. And we got some new furniture a day before that, and we never even touched the furniture. And she kept looking. She was looking for Kleenex to blow her nose, and she opened one of the drawers, which had never been opened by anybody, that we... And the Lord miraculously had it in there. And she couldn't believe it. She said, the Lord just sent it in. So when the Lord tells me something, I believe it. I don't care if everybody else goes, oh, or everybody else is bored. You know, I look into a church, you know, when I'm at different churches, I see people are bored as though they don't believe what I'm saying. And it just makes me so despise, you know, the people that just... And I feel sorry for them, really, because they just don't have any faith. They just don't have any faith. And it surprised me with Sue and that Ed Mick. Well, naturally, you know, Ed Mick committed suicide years later. This is going back around 38 years now. And people that don't believe the Lord, they don't have anything. And, you know, different things, situations are going to hit them. And they're not going to be able to stand. They think, well, we made it this far, and you can see that they're just struggling from one day to the next. They just are just here on a hair. And because they just get so bored at miracles of the Lord and say, well, we've heard that before. But you know, there's a lot of new Christians that come into the church that haven't heard this, and there's a lot of people that don't allow the new baby Christians to hear the over 400 and around 450 tapes that I've already done on the Bible, just chapters of the Bible. And so how are these people going to know if they don't hear these new tapes? And whenever the Lord puts it on my heart, and I pray before the service for the Lord to anoint me as to what to say on a tape, so I know this is going to somebody that it will affect. And right here in the Bible, here is the psalmist, amen? That's believing God, go and get those people because you're for sure going to recover them. And the Lord told me for sure that money's coming in at 11 to 11:30, and that's exactly when it came in. Okay? Not the way I thought it was going to come in, but it came in. Okay, and I could sit here for several months telling you of different things just like this, even seemingly more supernatural than that has happened to me, that the Lord told me is going to happen. And it did happen. When the Lord says something, it's for sure. If the Lord tells you, I'm going to kill you, you're going to die. You better believe the only time that ever happened that it didn't is when he told Hezekiah that he was going to die, and then because of the fact that he prayed to the Lord that he would give him more life, he gave him another 15 years of life. He told Isaiah to go back and tell him, you've got 15 more years of life. And he says, well, how shall I know that I have 15 more years of life, Lord? And he says, Isaiah says, shall we make the sundial go 10 steps forward or 10 steps backwards? What does that mean, 10 steps? Well, unless you know Egyptian Hebrew customs, you wouldn't know that. But what they had is miniature staircase back then, especially the Egyptians. And when the sundial goes 10 steps back, here's right up to the top, and then it goes 10 steps back where the sun is shining on it. You know, that's the way Indians tell the time. In Montana, I was raised there, and I was taught how to tell the time by just looking at the sun. And a lot of people know how to do that now. Well, that's how the Egyptians were able to tell the time. And they had these little staircases, miniature staircases, and they had them set up just a certain way to where the shadow would go back 10 steps. And the Lord caused the shadow to go back 10 steps. That's the sundial. Okay? Do you understand what that means? Okay. 10 degrees or 10 steps. Amen? Yeah. And so that was... caused Hezekiah to believe that he was going to live another 15 years. Okay. Well, when the Lord tells me something, I don't need to look at... I did look at the clock, you know. I says, when? And he told me when. And so I finished the dishes up, dried them and put them away, and it was about 11:25, and I moved my chair over to the door. I was just going to ransack that guy when he comes in the door. Don't you ever take anything from my wife or steal anything again, you know, you're going to tell him about the Lord. Okay. So, that was just a miracle. Amen?
Amen.
And then, you know, I was able to say, I told you so to both of them, Ed Mick and Susie. But what a different way that the money returned. You know, that she should be the one that brings it in. Because when she was saying, then I thought the guy came through the window in the bedroom where she was, and I says, what, what? And I came with my fist all doubled up, and here she comes out just with it in her hands. It was really something. Okay, then what? Okay, let's keep reading.
Verse 9, so David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed.
Okay, yeah, see, he knows that the Lord's going to deliver these people right back into his hand. Then what?
Verse 10, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. Verse 11, and they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water.
Okay, well, Sharon's got a little problems with her crawl. She can't talk too good, so Jeannie, come over and replace her. You did well, though, Sharon. The devil just doesn't want you reading. But we'll pray for you, but right now we're going to just go ahead here. We'll fool the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're for John. Because we want to show, maybe the Lord wants to show that we have other readers besides you, okay? And we'll call after Jeannie here, we'll call Michelle. All right? Okay, then what else?
Translation verses 1 through 11. Verse 1. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and had burned Ziklag to the ground. Verse 2. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. Verse 3. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, verse 4, They wept until they could weep no more. Verse 5. David's two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel, were among those captured. Verse 6. David was now in serious trouble because his men were very bitter about losing their wives and children, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found the strength in the Lord his God.
Right, he just got a hold of God by the Spirit, and that was it. He was fine. Then what?
Verse 7. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, quote, bring me the ephod, exclamation mark, unquote. So Abiathar brought it. Verse 8. Then David asked the Lord, quote, should I chase them? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, quote, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you, exclamation mark, unquote.
It's a sure shot, no doubt about it. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord tells you that, don't you be afraid at all. Amen?
Amen.
You better ask first. Amen. Then what else?
Verse 9. So David and his 600 men set out, and they soon came to Bezor Brook. Verse 10. But 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook, so David continued the pursuit with his 400 remaining troops. Verse 11. Some of David's troops found an Egyptian man in a field and brought him to David. They gave him some bread to eat and some water to drink. King James Version, verse 12. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins, and when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. Verse 13. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. Verse 14. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. Verse 15. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. Verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Verse 17. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. Verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Verse 19. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Verse 20. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. Verse 21. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Bezor. And they went forth to meet David, and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Translation, verse 12 through 21. They also gave him part of a fig cake and two clusters of raisins, because he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 3 days and nights. It wasn't long before his strength returned. Verse 13, quote, to whom do you belong, and where do you come from, unquote, David asked him. Quote, I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite, unquote, he replied. Quote, my master left me behind 3 days ago because I was sick. Verse 14, we were on our way back from raiding the Cherethites in the Negev, the territory of Judah and the land of Caleb, and we had just burned Ziklag, unquote. Verse 15, quote, "Will you lead me to them?" unquote, David asked. The young man replied, quote, "If you swear by God's name that you will not kill me or give me back to my master, then I will guide you to them," unquote. Verse 16. So the Egyptian led them to the Amalekite encampment. When David and his men arrived, the Amalekites were spread out across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy because of the vast amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines and the land of Judah. Verse 17. David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them throughout that night and entire next day until evening. None of the Amalekites escaped except 400 young men who fled on camels. Verse 18. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Verse 19. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back.
Just like the Lord said. Amen.
Amen.
Trust the Lord. By his stripes you are healed. Amen. Go ahead.
Verse 20. His troops rounded up all the flocks and herds and drove them on ahead. Quote, "These all belong to David as his reward!" exclamation mark, unquote, they said. Translation verse 21. When they reached Bezor Brook and met the 200 men who had been too tired to go with them, David greeted them joyfully. King James Version, verse 22. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." Verse 23. Then said David, "Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us, and delivered the company that came against us into our hand." Verse 24. "For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." Verse 25. "And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day." Verse 26. "And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." Verse 27. "To them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in South Ramoth, and to them which were in Jeter." Verse 28. "And to them which were in Aroer, and to them which were in Siphmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoah." Verse 29. "And to them which were in Rechal, and to them which were in the cities of the Jeremielites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites." Verse 30. "And to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Coratian, and to them which were in Athak." Verse 31. "And to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt." Translation, verse 22 through 31. "But some troublemakers among David's men said, quote, They didn't go with us, so they can't have any of the plunder. Give them their wives and children, and tell them to be gone," unquote. Verse 23. "But David said, quote, No, my brothers, exclamation mark, don't be selfish with what the Lord has given us. He has kept us safe and helped us defeat the enemy." Verse 24. "Do you think anyone will listen to you when you talk like this? We share and share alike, those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment," unquote. Verse 25. "From then on David made this a law for all of Israel, and it is still followed." Verse 26. "When he arrived at Ziklag, David sent part of the plunder to the leaders of Judah, who were his friends. Quote, Here is a present for you taken from the Lord's enemies," unquote, he said. Verse 27. "The gifts were sent to the leaders of the following towns where David and his men had been: Bethel, Ramoth, Ramoth-Negev, Jater, G-A-T-T-I-R. Verse 28, a rower, A-R-O-E-R. Siphmoth, S-I-P-H-M-O-T-H. Eshtemoa, E-S-H-T-E-M-O-A. Verse 29, Rachal, R-A-C-A-L. The towns of the Jerahmeelites, J-E-R-A-H-M-E-E-L-I-T-E-S. The towns of the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. Verse 30, Hormah, H-O-R-M-A-H. Borashan, B-O-R-A-S-H-A-N. Athak, A-T-H-A-C-H. Verse 31, Hebron, and all the other places they had visited.
All right, that was the 31 verses of chapter 30 in 1 Samuel. And now we have some commentary.
30, verse 1. This raid on Ziklag was no doubt a retaliation attack because of David's raids against them. 27, verse 8. 30, verse 6. The grieving to the point of exhaustion. David uses the occasion to strengthen himself in the Lord his God, as everyone should and must, really, while the people, as thorough soldiers, turn the energy of their grief to threats of assassinating David. 30, verse 7 through 8. Psalm 25 could have been composed at this very time. It reflects David's trust in God at times of great danger and crisis. 30, verse 7. Abiathar had escaped to David from Saul's massacre of the priest of Nob, chapter 22. He was the only living priest, and his was the only ephod. 30, verses 9 through 10. Brook Bezor was 12 to 15 miles southwest of Ziklag. This is in addition to the 50 miles they had traveled from Aphek, A-P-H-E-K. Because their city had been burned, they had to leave with little or no rest or supplies. The exhaustion of the 200 was understandable. 30, verse 17. The number of men who escaped is equal to the entire army of David. 30, verse 26 through 31. The presents David sends to these cities in southern Judah are a gesture of gratitude toward those who have sustained him and his men during their exile, as well as some repayment of what they have given him. A further motive is likely political. These people were the first to crown David king in Hebron after the death of Saul. 30, verse 23 through 31. Leaders honor all ministry equally. Those who support others are equally important to God if they are supporting God, which God tells you to support. But we're to give no place to the devil, of course. 30, verses 1 through 6. During David's and his men's time away from Ziklag, marauders or raiders had come and stolen their belongings, primarily, and kidnapped their families. In this crisis, David shows us where to go for direction and hope. Quote, David found strength in the Lord, unquote, 30, verse 6. David knew where to go in a crisis. Entrusting our life to God, no matter how dire our circumstances is a very important step in maturity in the Lord.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, that was the commentary on chapter 30, 1 Samuel. And now we've got a couple of letters to read, so Michelle, come forward just before we begin reading the dealing with self of part 3. Where's this letter from, Michelle?
From Corona, Queens, New York. It says, "Hello, Pastor. Again, I thank you so much for the unexpected package of cassettes that got to me faster, too. I was overwhelmed and really appreciate the true dedication of your ministry to effectively assist people from all walks of life to be deeply soaked with the Word of God. May the Almighty bless you, increase you in strength, and equip you abundantly for His purpose of your calling. I gave out copies of your world newsletters to my cousins and loved ones and pastor, The outcome is that two of my cousins and two co-tenants have fully surrendered and dedicated themselves to Christ, and are now well determined not to give in to the devil any longer, but live for God the rest of their lives. Every Tuesday night we gather in my apartment to pray, and with the help of your materials, share the Word of God together. We go to church every Sunday to worship too. Concerning those cassettes you want me to request, I will need the tapes for the following books: Genesis, Ephesians, Galatians, and Colossians for a start. Pastor, there is one more thing I need from you urgently that has been on my heart for so much for years. That is, I want you to send me one Bible dictionary and one Bible concordance. I believe they will help us very much. Hoping to hear from you soon. God bless. Yours in Christ, William O. from Corona, Queens, New York.
Okay, I assume that our mailing room has sent everything to them. Now, where's the next letter from?
Kumasi, Ghana.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony, greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, full of grace and truth, of whom we all have received grace for grace, even the grace that has brought us eternal life and salvation by faith. Thank you so much for sending me the Messiah and magazines, which mean so much to all of us in these days. Please do not erase my name from your mailing list, and continue sending the magazines and Bibles regularly, as I do not want to miss a single issue.
Everyone should send the Messiah book to their family that they need to get saved, because it's absolute proof that Jesus is the Messiah. Absolute. They will go away with no doubt in their hearts that Jesus is the Messiah if they read the Messiah book. All right, then go ahead. Especially the Jewish people, too. All right, then what? And this is all mainly from the Old Testament. A Jew will not listen to you when you're preaching to them from the New Testament. But if you show them Christ in the Old Testament, that will make sense to them. All right? Then they'll listen to the New Testament after they receive Christ from the Old Testament. All right, then continue on, please.
Besides that, we are grateful for the cassettes of messages and songs that you send from time to time, and do look forward to receiving such help and cooperation in the near future also. Pastor Tony, distribution of your Christian literatures and Bibles in general has been changing and winning souls for Christ. May the Almighty God richly bless and reward you, World Pastor Olamo. Hope to hear favorably from you. Yours in faith, J.K.B. from Kumasi, Ghana.
Praise the Lord. That was wonderful letters. We really appreciate the letters when they come in, and we will read them when we know that people have been saved and that the gospel is spreading throughout the world. All right, now this is part three of dealing with self. Okay, go ahead, Jeannie.
Besides Job in the Bible, Peter is also a model example of one who is full of self. Peter's self was expressed to the utmost because he was the most talkative one and had the most opinions. On many occasions in the Gospels, Peter spoke and expressed his opinions. There was not one subject concerning which he did not have an opinion or idea. Therefore, each time the Lord dealt with him, he dealt with his opinions and ideas. The teaching of denying self in Matthew 16 was spoken because of Peter. On the night of his betrayal, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, quote, all ye shall be offended in me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad, unquote. When Peter heard this, his self was immediately drawn out, and he said, quote, if all shall be offended in thee, I will never be offended, unquote.
So I've written these messages down while I was in prison. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then I had them all typed up. Okay, go ahead.
The result...
And I've made some changes in them, of course. And what else?
The result was that he denied the Lord three times and failed greatly. Matthew 26, verses 31 through 33, and verses 69 through 75. This was a deal-breaking and dealing for Peter. But even after such a dealing, while the disciples were gathered together after the Lord's resurrection, it was again Peter who made a suggestion. He said, quote, I go a-fishing, unquote, John 21, verse 3. He was really one who girded himself and walked wherever he would. John 21, verse 18. In the New Testament, there is still another who represents self. It is Martha. Each time she is mentioned in the Gospels, she is always talking and giving her opinion. John 11 most clearly...
I've never heard of people giving opinions more than females. They all have opinions, but they very rarely rely on the Word of God. But listen to Martha here, what she's always so full of opinions. Self. Okay, go ahead.
John 11 most clearly depicts her characteristics, many words and many opinions. We read there that her brother Lazarus died, and after 4 days the Lord Jesus came. When she saw the Lord, she blamed him, saying, quote, "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died," unquote. This was her opinion. Then the Lord said, quote, "Thy brother shall rise again," unquote. Martha said unto him immediately,
with her other opinion, then what?
Quote, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day," unquote. This again was her explanation of what was going on according to her own opinion of the words of the Lord.
But the Lord's truth was that he was going to raise him from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
And her opinion was of just hot air. Then what?
The Lord replied, quote, "I am the resurrection and the life."
I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Okay, then what?
"He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Unquote. She answered and said, quote, "I have believed," unquote. Quote, "I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God," unquote.
See, she didn't answer the question. Right?
Right.
She's just a smart aleck. Okay, go ahead.
What she answered was not what the Lord had asked. Her
Read it again so that there's a lot of people that are self-opinionated in this room, so read what she said again, what he asked her, and then what she said.
The Lord replied, quote, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live."
Then he says, "Do you believe this?" Right?
Right.
Then what did this highly intelligent human say?
She answered and said, quote, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God."
No, but do you believe I'm the resurrection and the life? That's the question. Amen?
Amen.
Now maybe that penetrated somebody's mind, all right? Answer the question. Okay. Read it again just in case somebody is still in the fog here.
The Lord replied, quote, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Unquote. She answered and said, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God.
That isn't what I asked you. I asked you if you believe that I'm the resurrection and the life. And those that are dead, they shall still live. Now, do you believe that? Yeah, and then she says what?
She answered and said, quote, I have believed.
I have at one time believed. Then what?
I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God.
But what about, do you believe I'm the resurrection and the life? And that if you're dead, you're still going to live. That's important, okay? Answer the question. Amen?
Amen.
Answer the question, airhead. Amen?
Amen.
Self. Flesh. You're not listening good. You have no comprehension of what I just asked you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now let's go further.
What she answered was not what the Lord had asked. Her comprehension of what the Lord had said was really remote.
Yeah. Okay, then what?
After saying this, she did not care whether the Lord had finished speaking with her. She returned home and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, quote, "The teacher is here and calleth thee," unquote. This she fabricated.
She lied. She's never said he calls for you, right? I call for her. Amen?
Amen.
Just making up her own conversation there, her own, just saying whatever she pleases, her own ideas, her own opinions. I just know that Jesus wants to see her. Okay, do you know any females like this? Huh? They're abundant, amen.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Everybody has to have something to say, right? Okay, then what?
This she fabricated, she lied on her own, and made the decision for the Lord. Now when they had come to the tomb...
How many times in this church have I heard people say, Tony says this or that, and I never no more said that than a man in the moon. You ever hear that?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Do you know what I just asked? Okay, then what?
Now when they had come to the tomb and Jesus requested that the stone be removed, Martha again offered her opinion, saying, quote, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days,"
yeah,
unquote.
Like the Lord doesn't know that. You know, she's too bright. And the Lord is stupid, you know. Okay, go ahead.
As if Jesus didn't know. This story reveals Martha's opinion and viewpoint. She had so many opinions, which indicate that herself was very strong. From these narratives relating to the people mentioned, we can clearly see that the expression of self is in the human thoughts and opinions. Therefore, a person who is full of ideas and opinions is one who is full of self.
All right, praise the Lord. That was the conclusion of dealing with the flesh, part 3. And I just pray that people will receive these messages on self, because churches are just full of this. No matter what, everybody has their opinion of what prophets are doing and what they say, and they twist things so much that they're definitely into self, or into flesh and self. Remember, both flesh and self are closely related, very closely related. So I just pray that you will receive this. If this is your problem, self, if your problem is self or flesh, that you receive these messages, because they're from the Lord. And until chapter 31, which is the final chapter of 1 Samuel, and until part 4 of dealing with self, meditate on these things day and night, because these are from the Lord, these things, all what you've heard this evening. And until tomorrow, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.